Am I on? Yeah, I've been in Punxsutawney. I'm starting my seventh year. I have a really tough boss. I don't know. Dr. Norris, for those who used to be the previous pastor here. So, it is good to be here. I've enjoyed the worship and the music. I get to travel to the 160 Alliance churches in Western Pennsylvania all the time. And like the Bell Choir, is that what's called the Bell Choir? Like, I've seen the Bell Choir in a lot of other churches, but it's usually always kids. And this is the first time I've seen adults do it. And I was like, that is amazing. Not that the kids aren't good, okay? But it was like, that's the first time I was like, wow, the potential, that was good. I don't know if I should tell you this. I have a new sermon. I'm not preaching here this morning. But it's a new sermon on my ideal Alliance church. And in Matthew, let me see if I can find it here. When Jesus goes into the temple, let me see here. And the kids are all around him, and they're singing. Let's see here. Here they are. Here it is. Okay. He goes in the temple, and the kids are shouting in the temple area, "Hosanna to the Son of David." The Pharisees were indignant. And then Jesus says, or they said to Jesus, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" They asked him, "Yes." And then Jesus said, "Have you never read from the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise?" Okay, so from the lips of children and infants he's ordained praise. So I know you had those adults here first, but the real choir that God ordained were the kids. Okay? So here's my ideal Alliance church, and I haven't seen it yet. Okay, so I'm just giving the challenge. You don't have to listen. Okay? I'm waiting to go to a church where it's a choir of adults and kids together. Maybe the kids have to be mic'd a little bit, but don't you think that would be, that would do one step up above sister act, you know? But like you'd have the adults and the kids in there, and they're all praising the Lord, and they give the... Because we tend to separate them in the churches. And I just, my idea, if I'm ever in an Alliance church again, I think I'm going to combine them together and have one, like, wow, neat choir. So, well, where am I going here? I am a visitor in this church. How many other visitors are here? Raise your hand. Okay, we're all victims. Okay. So let me tell you something, visitors. My wife once told me, she said, "Joe, you know you're a model preacher." I was feeling pretty good. And my wife said, "Now you look up that word model in the dictionary." I did, and it said a small imitation of the real thing. So, I know. Wasn't too happy. So I just want you to know that I'm the model, okay? Pastor Bob, are you preaching next week? Okay, so there's the real thing. So if you're a visitor, you know, come back next week for the real thing. By the way, Pastor Bob, did I ever tell you about that they installed hand dryers at one of my churches? Did I ever tell you what happened? I noticed when I went in your restroom, you have paper towel dispensers. That's smart. In my restrooms, they put those hot air things. Well, I went in there one Sunday, and there was a sign on it. It said, "If you want a sample of today's sermon, press the button." I know. That's my church for you. Right. You're not supposed to be laughing. Are you playing while I preach?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's why you should have went, shh. All right. I'm going to share with you. Originally, this was supposed to be outside. So I said to Pastor Bob, I said, "Is there PowerPoint outside?" And he went, "No." And then I said, "Are people going to have Bibles outside?" And he went, "No." By the way, he told me that I should come casual. But you know why I dressed up? Because for once I want to look like the sharpest person in a church. So I figured people won't have Bibles and there's no PowerPoint. And so I better preach on something simple. I'm preaching on a verse that is a very old text. It's probably a verse that is the collection of the greatest, it's the greatest collection of words that have ever been put together. It's as if God took all of the Old Testament and New Testament and said, you know what? I want to share one verse in the Scriptures that explains all of redemption, all of the Old Testament, New Testament. They say if you take carbon and compress it really tight under pressure, you can create diamonds. I think in an old Superman movie or something, I think Superman, here's some diamonds, Lois. And so it's like God took the Bible and compressed it into one verse and created John 3:16. Now, I wasn't sure what to preach on when, because you had this skit on the Lord's Prayer, and I actually have a sermon on the Lord's Prayer. So I was thinking to myself, maybe I should switch sermons and preach the 10 principles of prayer. But then I looked in your bulletin, and I did not plan this, but you notice in your bulletin, if you open up your bulletin, and my bulletin's over there, do you notice that it has John 3:16 in the bulletin? Somewhere in there. Where is it? Right under Welcome to Neighbor Day. Who put the bulletin together? No one here. A ghostwriter. Okay. I did not tell them to do that. So I was like, that must be a sign from the Lord that that's what I came prepared to preach on, and someone actually put the verse right in the bulletin. I was like, wow. So there it is for you as we go through it. So we're going to analyze this verse like a jeweler would analyze different facets of the verse. Now, there's two types of people here. There's one type that, like, I went to church faithfully, Christmas, Easter, that kind of stuff. And I think I would see John 3:16 painted on rocks and walls. And people would wear John 3:16, and I had no idea what that verse was. And then there's other Christians. You've grown up with that verse, and you've almost become too familiar. And you even, it's like familiarity breeds contempt. Like you've missed the glorious truth that is in that verse. So I want us to examine the verse and look at different aspects of that verse and just bring out the great truths that are there in John 3:16. And so here's the verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So the first question we want to ask ourselves, it's a verse about redemption. And the first question we want to ask ourselves is, what is the motive for redemption? What is God's motive for reaching man, for reaching men, women, teens, and children? And it's in the first part of the verse. For God so what? Loved. The motive of redemption is the love of God. You know, when I was growing up, I kind of pictured like God is this scary, almighty, powerful thing that wasn't real personal and, you know, was a God of wrath and judgment and just waiting for me to sin so lightning could come out. And it was just kind of scary. But after I met the Lord, when I was in my college years, I discovered, and through reading through the Bible, that really the core of God is love. He loves. You know what love is? I was thinking, what's a good way to describe God? You know the fruit of the Spirit, which is, it's God's character. It's what flows out of God. And the fruit of the Spirit is love. What's the next one? Joy. You know, our God loves to celebrate. He loves to laugh and have joy. Love, joy, peace, patience. He's kind. He's goodness. You know, faithfulness, self-control, and gentleness. That's the type of God we serve. He is a wonderful God. And he's just full of incredible, inexhaustible love. And so the motive for redemption is for God so loved. The object of redemption. For God so loved the what? The world. The object of redemption is the world. God loves the world. He loves those in China. He loves those in Russia, in South America, in Asia, in Africa, in Europe. He loves people. He loves the Muslims. By the way, and I know I get myself into trouble, You know, it says that God, in Romans chapter 2, it says it is the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. And when God's trying to reach people, he does it with kindness and goodness and love. He, you know, so this burning the Quran, it just is a shame that Christianity is being tied to that. It's just something that probably Jesus would not. Jesus says to respect those that are not of the faith, and you win them over with kindness and gentleness. I know I would get upset when other countries would burn the American flag and stuff like that. Why? Christians, we aren't stooping to that level. You know, we want to win. This isn't going to help win these people and to show them what God is really like, a God of love and kindness. And I'm getting sidetracked. He loves the world. He even loves the United States, believe it or not. Okay? When I graduated seminary, I prayed, Lord, I'm open to go anywhere. I grew up in New Jersey, New York City. I'm open to go anywhere. Send me to the most sinfulest, evilest, rottenest, hardest people there is. Is it Russia? Is it Africa? Is it Hawaii? That'd be nice. Is it? And said to me it was West Newton, Western PA. I know. Norwin is right next door. So I say that because God even loves the people in Norwin. In fact, you need to even personalize it. God even loves you. He loves blacks and whites. He loves the rich and the poor. He loves the smart and the not so smart. He loves the down and outers, and he loves the successful. He loves every person. And so the motive of redemption is God's what? Love. The object of redemption is what? The world. And now we come to the plan of salvation. For God so loved the world that, and here's the plan, that he gave his one and only son. Now let me give you, I'm going to give you a theology 101. This is like really basic. And this is my, you theologians can work me over later if you can find me. I'll be by the food. Long ago, before God created that gigundo big star, before all of creation, there was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity. And the Father was an eternal Father, and the Son was an eternal Son, and the Spirit was an eternal Spirit. And so God's heart was one of being a Father, and the Son's heart was one of being a Son and the Spirit. And they got together, and God said, you know what? I just have an inexhaustible amount of love. I love being a father. I would love more children. And Jesus says, I would love brothers and sisters. I was just reading, psychology tells us that to be healthy, every human needs to love someone, and every human needs to be loved back. We all, that's part of love. It's give and take. We all have a need to love someone, or some lots of people, and we all have a need to be loved back. And if you come to me and say, I don't have that need, we'll sign you up with the psychiatrist. Okay? So God has this inexpressible love. So he says to Jesus and the Spirit, let's create man and woman, and let's create a family. And so they're talking about creation before they even started, and they go, now wait a second, we don't want to create robots. We don't want to create the Stepford wives and men that just have to love us. So we got to give them the ability, the free choice. And I know this is theologically tough. They had to allow sin to come into the world, because that's the only way that all of us know what it is to live without God, and we can know what it is to live with God, and now we can all choose. And God says, we want people that we can love, and that those people love us back, because they want to love us back. This will be a family. But there's going to be one problem. We're going to allow sin to come in the world. We won't cause it, but we'll allow it to happen. But what are we going to do? If people want to love us, we got this sin issue problem. It's got to be paid for. Sin, the wages of sin is death. And so they discuss that Jesus, God's only Son, would go to the cross and suffer hell in our place and pay for that sin for mankind. Now, he pays for everyone's sin, but it's only if you accept it. It's like paying for someone to get out of jail. What do they call that when you post bail? But the person in jail can refuse to accept it. So Christ pays for our sins, but you can refuse to accept it. And so he suffers hell in our place, and you can't imagine the hell he suffered because he was separated from the Father, which is an incredible thing for the Godhead to be separated, and he was forsaken. And all of our sins were put upon him as he died on the cross for us. And so they came up with the plan of salvation. It was God's most precious son. It was his one and only son. My wife and I have, a lot of people don't realize this, we have 7 kids. We have 6 that are on earth. We have 3 boys and 3 girls, a real Brady Bunch. And depending on what mood we're in, sometimes I say, those are your kids. And but we lost one in childbirth. And so we have a 7th in heaven. And it affected my kids. I used to go around telling people we had 6 kids, and all my 6 kids would say, Dad, we have 7 kids. There are 7 of us, and we don't like when you don't mention the one that's in heaven. So I said, okay. My kids were almost more affected by the loss than my wife and I were. But we had comfort. Even though we got one in heaven, we had 6 other children that are here that bring us comfort. There's a family that I know, a very good family, and they only had one son, one child. In fact, he was the only grandchild of the family that was in my church. And he served in the first Persian Gulf War, came home about 24 years old, was working in a restaurant called The Barn, driving home one night after working, skidded off the street, flipped his car when it hit it like a ditch, flipped the car. He's totally fine. I mean, the guy was a Marine. Crawls out of his car. Lo and behold, he didn't realize he hit a telephone pole and the electric wire came down. And he walks into the electric line in the dark, getting to the road. And he is killed. And I just can't tell you the devastation upon all the family, because he was the only son, the only child in this family. And it was just a taste of God giving his one and only son for us. So the motive for redemption is God's love. The object of redemption is the world. It's you and me. The plan of redemption is God gave his one and only son. The purpose of redemption is, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. The purpose is to keep us from going to hell. Now I'm going to give you the shortest description of hell, and I know it's not popular to talk about it, although Jesus taught on it more than he did about heaven. It's a horrible place. It's one of fire. It's one of separation from God. It's a place where people want just one drop of water. It's forever. And it's a place where the people that are there, Jesus gives us a little insight to the people that are down there. They're hoping no one else joins them from their family. It's not a wonderful place to be. And so Jesus came to die so that we don't have to perish. What's the result of redemption? For God, the motive, love. For God so loved. The object, the world. The plan, gave his one and only son. The purpose, so that whoever believes shall not perish. The result, but will have eternal life. The result of redemption is we get to go to heaven. We have a relationship with God in heaven. And heaven is a wonderful place. Oh, by the way, I got my latest joke on heaven. All right, you ready? Now wait, is there any president of a health insurance company in our midst? Okay, good. Anyone work with the health insurance? Well, we're really safe. Okay. Doctor, nurse, and the president of a health insurance company die and go to the pearly gates. St. Peter comes and says to the doctor, why should I let you in? And the doctor says, oh, I'm a good doctor. Sometimes I cut my rate for patients. Yeah, right. All right, but I could have made billions, but I only made millions instead. Okay, enter in. Thank you. All right. Nurse, why should I let you in? Well, I helped at the free clinic. I actually was nice to patients as well as being nurse. Okay, and I'm allowed to say that. 2 of my daughters are nurses, and my 3rd one's in nursing school. So I can, then they'll talk about how mean some of the nurses are. But I've been good and kind to the patients. You enter into heaven. Then the president of the health insurance company comes up and Peter says, well, what did you do? And the president says, well, I helped employers save thousands of dollars by customizing health insurance plans for their employees. I saved them tons of money. And St. Peter says, okay, you can enter into heaven, but you can only stay for 3 days. I like that. I know. The latest, okay? Too bad you can't use it. Have you used it yet? All right. I start them. Then they know. All jokes are passed down from the apostles. Pastors get secret joke books that are passed through the years. Okay. Heaven's a great place. It's described as a city that comes out of heaven onto a new earth that will be created. The city is 2,000 miles long and wide and high. It's where God lives with Jesus. It's got a river of life. It's got trees of life we get to eat in heaven. We're not just floating on clouds playing our harps, okay? It looks like we probably do get together to worship on every, you know, one day out of seven. And then we go out and we celebrate. And I'm like imagining God's got these horses that can fly through space. So I'm imagining like we're going to be celestial. We're going to be flying over to that star you're talking about. There is UFOs. It'll just be us, the Christians, as we're it is like fabulous. It says in heaven there's no more pain or death or sorrow or illness. There's not going to be any hospitals in heaven. Sorry for you hypochondriacs or whatever. It's going to be tough for you. No doctors. No, there will be. I think there'll be preachers yet. We can teach, you know. We'll see. We told you. We get to play football in heaven. We'll never get hurt. Okay? Golf. You'll finally be good at golf. Don't you golf? A little bit. Yeah. Well, I play tennis. You know, So, I mean, it is going to be fabulous. All right. So let's, last one. So the motive of redemption is God's love. The object of redemption is the world. It's you and me. The plan of redemption is that he gave his one and only son. The purpose of redemption is so that we will not perish. The result of redemption is that we'll have everlasting life. We're going to live for eternity in the presence of God. And the last one is, who can get in on this? It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever, what? Believes. I used to think that you could buy your way into heaven. If you would just give the church enough money, you know, God would say, hey, that's pretty good. I could use that money. You're in. But the scripture doesn't say. The scripture says all the money in the world couldn't buy your salvation. And I used to think maybe you get to heaven if you're like a Boy Scout and you're really good and you help old ladies across the street. But the Bible says that we don't do enough good deeds to earn our way into heaven. In fact, the Bible is very clear that the only way into heaven is by believing, putting your faith in what Jesus Christ did on the cross, in dying for your sins and him being buried and him rising again from the dead. It's for whoever believes, whoever puts their faith in Jesus. Now, how many of you are on Facebook? How many of you are not on Facebook? You're back in the ancient... Wow, what is... That's incredible. Pastor Bob, you're not on Facebook? You're the only... The only way younger pastors communicate, Bob, is on Facebook. Okay? They don't know anything else. They don't know a phone. They don't know mail. You know, stuff. So let me explain Facebook to you, because actually people think this is a new thing, this Facebook, but Jesus has been Facebooking us for 2,000 years. So let me tell you how Facebook works. Let's say Pastor Bob gets on Facebook, okay? Someone help him to get on. So what happens is Pastor Bob, I'm on Facebook, Pastor Bob, well, he can look up my name, Joseph Toomey. There's a nice picture of me and my wife. And then he presses a button and it says, I want to be friends with Pastor Joe. Okay? So to my computer comes a request. Pastor Bob Daniels wants to be your friend. Right? You guys have Facebook, you right? And then there are two buttons. Am I correct? Okay. Button number one says, yes, I accept your friendship. I want to be friends with you. And we talk, we can communicate, we can chat on Facebook. I send you all my pictures, you send me all your pictures. And we can, you know, I can tell you I had hot dog for dinner and that I played Bejeweled game and won 3,000 points. So anyway, we can be friends. But Pastor Bob, there's another button. And what does that button say? Ignore. So if I press that button, you're gone. There's not even a second chance for me to think about it. You're wiped out. Okay? I ignore your friendship. All right. Well, in Revelation chapter 3, believe it or not, Jesus has been Facebooking all of us. It says it a little bit differently. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. And if anyone opens up that door, I'll come in and fellowship with you and you with me. See, God's looking for that family. God's looking to have a face-to-face relationship with you, not only now, I know we can't see God now, but in heaven, we get to see the Lord. And you get to choose. And what's so great about Jesus is that not only is he your God and Savior, but in John, Jesus says to the disciples, I don't just call you my servants. I know I'm God, I'm the Son of God, and you're my servants. He says, I no longer call you servants. I call you my friends. Can you imagine that? Abraham was called the friend of God. And that's what God's looking for. He's looking for a family because he's an eternal father. And he would say, I'd love you to be part of my family. And Jesus says in Hebrews, I would love for you to be my brothers and sisters. God wants to be your friend. And you basically have two spiritual buttons. One spiritual button is yes. I want Jesus. I want to be with God. And the other one is, no sounds too crude, so we just hit the ignore. I'm just going to ignore. Because basically, I don't want to be with God. I like running my own life. I actually like being my own God and making my own decisions. And I'm not interested in heaven. I'm not really interested in God. And unfortunately, for eternity, you won't have to deal with God. But for those of you that are ready, it's unbelievable the relationship you can have with God when you hit the button. So I'd like us to bow our heads for a moment here. And maybe you're here this morning and you're ready to give your heart to Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, God is unbelievable in his love towards you. And Jesus Christ died for your sins. Your sins also put him on the cross. And Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, is pleading. He's sending a message that he would love to be your Lord and Savior and friend. And all you need to do is to repent and say, hey, I know I've been living my own life. I want to follow after you. And so if you're here, and this will be the greatest decision you will ever make in your life, to ask Jesus into your heart. The greatest, way better than whoever you married or career you took, whatever. This, it's a life-changing decision to become part of the family of God. I'm going to pray a prayer out loud, and I want to invite you to pray along with me. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, I'll pray out loud. You pray silently in your spirit to Jesus as I pray. Lord Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner and not even worthy to go to heaven. But I thank you that you loved me and that Jesus died for me. And I open my heart to you now. I repent from living without you, God, and I want to live for you. Jesus, come into my life to be my Lord and Savior and my best friend. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for giving me redemption. thank you that I'm going to live in heaven with the family of God forever. Thank you that my sins are separated from me as far as the east is from the west. With heads bowed, eyes closed, and Christians praying, I would love to be able to keep you in prayer this week. If you, and we're not going to embarrass you or call you out or anything, but if you prayed that prayer with me, I'd like you to just slip your hand up and after I see it, put it down and say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer and gave my heart to Jesus here this morning. Just slip your hand up and then after I see you can put it down. Anyone here? God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother in the back. God bless you, brother up front here. Anyone else? God bless you to my right. I see you. Anyone else who wants to join these four or five? God bless you back there to my right. Anyone else? I don't want to miss anyone here. Anyone else? Okay, look up. I want to close here. Pastor Bob, do you have something to close with? Okay. I just want to share for the five or six of you that gave your heart to Jesus. It's really important that you share with someone you came with or some family member and say, hey, I prayed and gave my heart to Jesus. Second thing is get a Bible, okay, and start reading in the Gospel of John, which is where John 3:16 is located. It will really encourage you and help you grow in your faith. And the third thing, and this is the most important thing, is you need to go to a really good church. And does anyone know where a good church would happen to be? Right here. Oh, amazing. Come to church. They would love to have you here. Pastor Bob.
Please stay for lunch. Boy, we'd love to have you. And we want the visitors, after we sing, to go first, along with people who are with them. And get in line first, if you would. Okay? So that's how we want to do it. Also, next week we have some people gathering a little bit early before church. 10:45 is the most well-attended service. 8:30 is a great service. It's a little bit quieter, less people. But if you would want to come to those services and follow the Lord with others, it's a great experience. And
I noticed on the wall when I came in that there's a Sunday school class all about what heaven's like. Did you see that? No one saw it. Well, there is. When you go out the door on the right-hand side, they're going to talk and teach all about heaven. So don't miss out.
Amen. And The sermon series for the next couple of weeks is on the Bible itself. Can I trust the Bible? It was what changed my life around. Before I went to church for a long time, I would read the Bible, and that's how God got my attention. So a little bit about God's Word in the next couple of sermons will help you, especially if you're starting off to follow the Lord. You guys have been great. Thank you. We're going to sing, then I'll close in prayer for the food. And off we go. I think the food's ready, if Charlie could check on that. Okay.
Will you please stand? We're going to sing Take My Life.